Welcome back to Canucks Talk here on Sportsnet 650. Jamie Dodd, Thomas Durance here, live from the Kintec studio. 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. Dunbar Lumber, with three stores to serve you in Ladner on Bridge Street, or Dunbar Lumber Express at Ladner Center, or Arbutus in Vancouver, online at dunbarlumber.com. Protect your home with Westside Pest Control. They have the tools and know how to eliminate your wasp problem. Don't live in fear. Visit westsidepestcontrol.com. All right, we didn't do it off the top of the show. We didn't have Drancer here. We had the crossover at noon. So it's time now for the whiteboard. Let's get into it.
All right now, fellas. Hey, let's focus up, huh?
It is your daily deep dive into what's up with the Canucks for today, May 8th, starting with the headlines. And of course, we are finally here. The days of anticipation and buildup is over. Game one tonight at Rogers Arena between the Canucks and the Edmonton Oilers. We've talked about it a lot already today, what we expect to see, kind of the early tells from this one. I mean, a huge part of the headlines for me, obviously, is just first, second round series at Rogers Arena in 13 years. We've both made our picks in the series. We've had our guests make picks in this series. Everyone has picked a long series, six or seven games. And I hope we get that. More than anything else, I hope this series lives up to its potential, lives up to the quality of play we've seen from this other second round series that have gotten going, and gives us a memorable battle between two Western Canadian teams in this round two. And I hope we get that starting right away tonight.
That'd be great. I'd love an entertaining hockey game. We haven't had a lot of entertaining Canucks games, like at least like whistle to whistle. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. For full 60 minutes, we've had entertaining moments. We've had sensational moments,
like stressful, high intensity. Well, and like not like incredibly entertaining necessarily.
Well, and like the 12 seconds in game mm-hmm. one, and then obviously the game three comeback, and then, you know, the stress of the last 30 seconds as the Canucks closed out that series in Nashville. I mean, those are magical moments. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to take away from the stellar performances, the stout defense that this team has played, or like the reminder of the magic of playoff hockey that this team has served up to this sort of starving fan base over the course of the last 2 weeks. But, you know, the run of play has been a little bit stilted. You know, I do think it's been a long time since this Canucks team, it's been a long time since we saw this Canucks team play to their ceiling. We've seen this team play to a massively raised floor.
Yes.
But I don't think the floor gets you past Edmonton. You're going to need to tap into some of that ceiling level performance that we saw earlier in the year. We're going to need to see this team finish and generate far more frequently than they did against the Predators if they're going to stun the hockey world and pull off this upset, which I, by the way, believe they can do.
You know, you make the point about the ceiling. They haven't necessarily played to their ceiling. We were talking about that with Donnie and Dolly earlier on the crossover. How much of that is Elias Pettersson or related to Elias Pettersson? It's not all of it, obviously, but we also know that this team can only play to its ceiling if he's playing really well. He's such an important part of this team when he's at his best and when they're at their best.
Yes. I a really good point. The, you know, Pettersson's such a driver in terms of shooting efficiency when he's on it, when he's on his game, right?
Yeah.
And without it, you know, the ceiling case, I think, for the Canucks becomes far more difficult to make. So, look, a lot of eyes, a lot of pressure are going to be on Pettersson to bounce back, right? He talked today about trying to do too much in the series, which echoes some of what he said in Nashville when sort of critiquing his own game. There's no question that the Canucks are going to need, like, he needs to win the McLeod matchup decisively. I threw it at Books, and Books said he still gives the advantage to the Canucks, and I think that's debatable. Honestly, just on form and on what we saw in the last round, I think that's debatable.
Well, and even, like, I you know, we were running out of time, so I didn't follow up, but yes, okay, even if you give the advantage, it can't just be an advantage. You know what I mean? It has to be like an overwhelming advantage in that matchup, realistically. And the way I was framing it off the top of the show
You can't just draw it.
It can't just be like, hey, we outscored him by two goals in that series.
That's fine.
I don't know if that's going to be enough to make up the margin elsewhere. Like, wow. I think it needs to be more dramatic than that.
No, but I mean,
I think it needs to be a problem for Edmonton. Like, yeah. I think it needs to be something that the coaching staff is like, this isn't working. We need to go away from it.
We need to fatten the lineup.
Yeah,
or like,
we need to change things up because, hey, we were hoping to just like draw or come close to a draw with it. But if that's not happening, then they have to change. Like, I think it needs to be at that level.
Yeah. I thought Tocchet's commentary implied that we'll probably see more of a soft match against McDavid than like the solid head-to-head Miller versus McDavid. We'll see how that actually shakes out. We'll know tomorrow, right? Like, we're going to know what both coaches think tomorrow. They're not going to tell us today. We knew that anyway. But I do think Tocchet implied a soft match against McDavid, which means a steady diet, too, of Elias Lindholm versus McDavid, a matchup which historically has not gone well, right? And then the Miller minutes against McDavid are going to be fascinating, too, because that's a matchup that the Canucks have actually won over the past several years, but they've won it while getting shelled. You know, like, if you're getting outshot by 30 across 75 head-to-head minutes, Miller versus McDavid, you're going to lose this series, period. Even though that's happened in their last 75 head-to-head minutes, and the Canucks have outscored those issues because they've got a 940 save percentage in those minutes and the Oilers have a 780. Can't count on that.
Perfect. Just like you draw it up.
Yeah. Let's go.
Just keep doing that, guys. Like, what's the issue? Come on.
Have you considered scoring first on your first shot of the first period 14 minutes into the game? Have you considered trying that?
It's a good strategy.
Works for the Canucks.
Works an awful lot of the time. And, you know, you've made the point a couple of times, and I think it's a good one about, okay, if you're tasking JT Miller with, you know, quote unquote, shutting down, and I'm saying that advisedly because no one's going to shut down Connor McDavid.
Limiting the damage.
Yeah, if you're tasking him
with
containing.
You can only hope to contain him.
Exactly. You can only hope to contain him. If you're tasking JT Miller with that, what are you giving up offensively? And again, Elias Pettersson can make that less of a concern, right? Mm. If he's feasting in his minutes, and if you were looking at this team on paper at any point this season before Elias Pettersson started struggling, that's how you'd think it would go, right? You'd be like, okay, I feel pretty good about that, actually, right? Like, JT, you go up there and limit Connor McDavid, and then Pettersson should be able to go off in his minutes, but it's hard to have the confidence that that's going to happen that you would have had in January or December based on the Nashville series and just based on where Elias Pettersson's game is at right now. Anything else you want to hit on in headlines here?
I just want to hit Jonathan Lekkerimäki, cut from the world junior team, or sorry, from the world championship team, the Swedish world championship team. A little bit disappointing. I mean, he could have been playing for 3 weeks in Abbotsford. Now, the way that the Canucks design contracts, right? Like, there was, the Canucks kind of knew that this wasn't necessarily what was going to be best for the player, but the way that they design contracts, they're always going to permit a player in this position to go try out for the national team. It means an awful lot to the players themselves and to the Swedish Federation. So there was no doubt about it, but it does suck. Like, it's he lost 3 weeks of development time effectively that he could have spent getting more adjusted to the American League game and punching up Vancouver's offense the Abbotsford offense for this Calder Cup playoff run. Abbotsford's one game away from elimination.
And they've scored one goal in two games against the Ontario Reign.
And it sounds like Lekkerimäki's only like 50-50 to play tonight. The reports out of the Valley suggest that it's a game time decision for the hockey club. We'll see. But, you know, Lekkerimäki didn't look like a ready-made, set it and forget it, just turn the key difference maker necessarily in his AHL cup of coffee to begin with. So I won't be shocked if Jeremy Colliton decides to be a little bit cautious integrating him into the lineup against a really good Ontario team, right? Ontario, I mean, the Kings stalled rebuild at the moment, right? One sort of thing about that is, yeah, sure, some of those guys haven't, some of their many draft picks haven't necessarily turned into NHL difference makers, but damn, are they good in the AHL, right? Like, that's a loaded team. So yeah, we'll sort of see how it goes, but Lekkerimäki back with Abbotsford for the duration of this playoff run, which may only last one game that he may or may not even play in. You know, it's tough, right? The Swedish national team did pick an 18-year-old for the team, a gentleman named Felix Sorum Unger.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Carolina Hurricanes draft pick. And, you know, a big part of the reason for this is, you know, that guy can play on your fourth line.
Yeah.
You know, Lekkerimäki's skill set, the way he plays, the way he dominates the puck and shoots from everywhere. You know, teams want that at the top. He's a featured player. If he's going to play for you, he's going to be a featured player. So you can understand why they, you know, opted for sort of more of a grinder type for down lineup as opposed to choosing Lekkerimäki. It doesn't reflect badly on the player who still had a phenomenal D+1 season. I want to note that. I just, you know, it sort of is how it is.
It's unfortunate, but also there's the element of like relationship management too from the Canucks and Lekkerimäki, yep, of allowing him to go pursue this, knowing it would mean a lot to him, even if you would prefer to have him in Abbotsford and you would have loved for it to work out and for him to get to go there and play those games. But, you know, big picture, kind of worst case scenario thing, it's not that big of a deal. It's just maybe a little disappointing for the player. And as you mentioned, yeah, Abbotsford on the brink of elimination tonight. They lost the first two games of this series down in California against the Ontario Reign. The next three, if it goes that far, are all in Abbotsford, but they'll have to win all three of those to advance. And game three of that series is tonight. So both teams in the organization in action tonight out in Abbotsford. We'll see if Jonathan Lekkerimäki gets in that lineup or not. All right, lineup notes for the NHL team tonight as they get set to take on the Oilers. So Pettersson on the ice for the optional morning skate today. Spoke to the media after. No surprise that he is good to go tonight again. Based on all the intel we had yesterday, everyone anticipated that. Now, somebody did text in as a headline. Pettersson doesn't have a broken back, which was confirmed to us,
or wrist,
by Rick Tocchet, or a broken wrist. He was actually just dealing with being under the weather yesterday. I don't know. Like, I don't really know what to make of Rick Tocchet kind of coming out swinging about that. We don't lie. You know, we know. He was
we
sick.
Trust you, man.
He was sick. It's fine. I think we all agreed.
Tocchet's got a lot of credibility, I think, with the media pool in general. So that's I think, why I was surprised. Although producer Dom Lucision thinks it was Canucks Central.
Dom Shermati.
What did I say?
Lucision.
Oh, my God. Dom Shermati thinks that it was. I made the mistake in consecutive shows. Unbelievable.
Dom says he did it on the People Show.
Yeah,
you were the guy questioning the injury.
Could do that.
So you're the offender. You're getting the
red
card.
You're responsible for this.
2-minute minor
possible,
penalty.
You know,
Dom Shermati
loves the People Show.
Oh, it was the People Show, not going to
big
Central.
People Show guy. Big People Show.
I just reflexively want to blame Dastardly Dan Riccio for everything. So, okay.
Call me Lucision one more time.
So, I saw at the optional skate, Neil Zaman, Friedman, and Juulsen were sort of working out to Smith, the backup goalie,
mm-hmm,
right? So that's a classic tell about who's out of the lineup, and that heavily implies, regardless of the fact that, you know, Pettersson was basically confirmed in by Tocchet, and Pettersson himself said he feels fine. We know that there's going to be no lineup changes in terms of who dresses. Based off of that alone, Miller and Joshua getting some touches out as well, sort of late into the optional skate. Interesting that because Joshua doesn't usually skate when there's an optional.
Mm.
Miller always does. Miller,
yes,
always goes out and gets his touches and you know, wants to feel his feet, wants to feel his hands. Fine. Joshua doing it, though, that raised some eyebrows with me. That's a new approach from a player who maybe hasn't been up to his own standard after an electric first game in the Nashville Predators series. On the Edmonton Oilers side, Adam Henrique draws out. Janmark will go up to the top line with McDavid. That combo has not worked for the Oilers.
Janmark, McDavid?
Yeah, 120-ish minutes, 2 goals for, 5 against. Like, that's 2 goals in 125-on-5 minutes with McDavid?
Yeah, that's not great.
That's an interesting call from Oilers coaches. But again, I don't expect that that's going to be like a mainstay thing that they do all game. I think you'll see some Fogle. I think you'll see some Dreisaitl. You might even see some RNH up there with that group. So will be something to track over the course of the game.
And it's Connor Brown who comes in place of Adam, right, Henrique. So he'll play on the fourth line at least to start for the Edmonton Oilers. We'll see how they juggle things around during the game. And, of course, no lineup changes for the Canucks. And we've gotten used to saying that. It's been a long time since we've seen a lineup change from Rick Tocchet and his staff. So expect to see the same trios, expect to see the same pairings on the blue line, at least to start, because I am curious if things don't get off to that ideal game script that we're talking about here for the Canucks that we've been stressing. You know, how quickly does Tocchet go to option B here? We'll see. Maybe we'll find out tonight, depending on how things go. All right. We'll skip over the playoff forecast again. We know the score there, what everyone is anticipating in this series. I know you wanted to get to some stuff in the betting odds, though.
Yeah, the odds for, I think it's interesting, the odds for the correct series. We sort of went over that already, but I do think if you want to bet on this series, right, the Canucks are basically 3-1 to win. So you're already getting value if you want to ride with the Canucks. But, you know, I really do think the path for the Canucks to win this series goes long. And you can get 15 or 10-1 for it to be 6 or 7 games, a Canucks winner in 6 or 7. I find that very tempting. I think there's decent value there for those Canucks fans out there looking for a way to support the Canucks and do it in the spiciest possible fashion.
6 or 7.
6 or 7.
All right, I like it. Okay, we'll wrap up the whiteboard a little bit early there today with the update from the betting odds there. And, it does feel like this is going long. We could be wrong.
Oh,
here, right?
Sorry. Let me also do, Canucks are +115 home dogs tonight. Oilers -135. So that speaks to why you've got, this dynamic in this series where the Canucks are heavily like underdogs
because the Edmonton's favorite even on the road,
right? So there's effectively no home ice advantage in, or at least the Canucks don't get a home ice advantage or aren't even the favorite on home ice according to Vegas. Also, the over under is set at 6 with steam on the over. Under 6 goals is +100. So the betting markets really think the Canucks are going to struggle to impose their preferred, you know,
the
we're
low
not,
event style.
We're not pretty, but we play defense pretty well game shape on to game one.
The we're not afraid to play low event hockey. That is Rick Tocchet phrased it. And we know.
Yeah, but
we saw that Nashville series. And I do think that's what
we've seen it all season.
Yeah. That is gonna be one of those big questions, is what, like, if they can't impose their will and make this a low event series. Right? What does plan B look like? You know, whether it's lineup juggles, whether it's strategic, whatever it is, you can't just keep banging your head against the wall, right? Like, if you have one vision of, okay, this is what we want to do against the Oilers and it's not working and they're dictating pace, what do you do? Like, that's kind of where coaches establish their reputation, establish their legacy, right? Is reacting in tough situations in the playoffs. And I don't know that we have a clear answer about what that looks like from the Canucks or what that could look like, but it's the Oilers. So as you said, look, maybe it's kind of a game-to-game thing. You know what I mean? And there's some games where the Oilers play their game successfully and establish the pace. There's other games where the Canucks do it and it just kind of flips over the course of the series. But I do think the Canucks are going to have to find some way. Yeah, it's one thing not to be afraid of low-event hockey, but can you keep up in a slightly more high-event area as well?
Well, that's like, you're going to find yourself in a deficit at some point in the series, and one thing that the Canucks were able to do against Nashville is they won that 4-3 game where they had to eliminate the 3-1 deficit late, right? Like, they were able to come back in the third period of game one, right? That you're going to need, it's the playoffs. You're not going to feel like, you're not going to come in and storm through your opponent 4-1 four times out of seven. That's not how it works, right? So you're going to have stressful moments. You're going to have moments where the chips are down, right? And the question's going to be, can the Canucks limit McDavid and the Oilers' power play just enough to stay in games and then pull some out? Because you're going to need to win some one-goal games, and you're going to need to win some games where you open trailing.
You're going to need to find a way to score some goals.
Connor McDavid tonight, by the way, -750. -750 to have a point.
That's amazing.
He's minus 1500, so that's a 60% implied probability to have 2 points. Oh my goodness,
he's really good.
Really good.
Yeah, it's like you're starting like down a goal already when he's on the other team. You know what I mean? Because -750 just for a point, that's overwhelmingly likely to do something, to register on the score sheet tonight. And I do think, you know, As hard as it is to do, they're probably going to have to, you know, JT Miller and the defense matchup by committee system, Elias Lindholm, they're going to have to find a way to at least keep it to like some 1-point night for McDavid. Can you get one 0-point night? You know what I mean? Can you get 1 0-point night for McDavid in this series? It's a tall task.
I can't believe the way this guy is priced. I mean, he deserves to be, right? Like, he is breaking what we expect from NHL goal scorers or point producers. But 10.5 over under. 10.5 points over under entering the series, minus 750 for 1 point, minus 1550 for two. Unreal
minus
stuff.
Minus pricing for two is absolutely wild.
The market just looks at McDavid as an atom bomb, period. And so, you know, we'll see if the Canucks can contain that. It's going to be a fascinating
dynamic. That's got to be like bulletin board material for JT Miller. You know what I mean? It's like they're saying this guy's going to get 2 points tonight. Go out there and figure out a way to shut him down. Again, much easier said than done.
I'm sure he doesn't need bulletin board material.
That's true. That's true. But, you know, every little bit counts, right? Did Michael Jordan, you wouldn't think, needed bulletin board material, and yet he managed to find it in every perceived slight he ever suffered throughout the course of his career. Sometimes you got to find that extra edge. Billy from East Van texted in, not to be a conspiracy theorist, but doesn't the series going late actually benefit the Oilers if you believe the league has a vested interest in seeing McDavid advance, which could subtly influence the calls on the ice? That's from Billy from East Van. I mean, would you say that, what's your phrase, right? The Canucks are the B team in this series because of McDavid?
The B side? Yeah, the A side and the B side.
Yeah.
Well, and beware, right? Like, the ultimate A sides remaining in the playoffs, I think, are like the Avalanche, the New York Rangers, and the Edmonton Oilers. Right? Because if you get McKinnon versus the Rangers or you get McDavid versus the Rangers, that's like gold for the league.
Yep.
So those are the ultimate A sides. The Canucks, I expect the Canucks to be a B side in this series, and that's going to be wildly frustrating as sort of calls come down.
Yeah, it's the reffing is going to be really interesting just to see what style this series ends up being, how the Canucks can, as I said to Buchla, right, play close to the edge without stepping over, without feeding the Oilers power play in terms of things, you know, we're looking for right off the bat tonight. Can't wait to see how that one plays out. And man, hopefully it should be a good one. That does it for us today. Thanks for tuning in. Again, game one tonight, 7:20 puck drop. Tons more game day coverage coming up here, including, of course, the official pregame show with Dan Riccio and Satyar Shah. You'll hear Yannick Hansen on the pregame show, and postgame it will be Sat, Bick, and Brett Festerling. So keep it locked right here. We'll be back tomorrow. Our guy, Ryan Clark, in studio. Can't wait for that tomorrow on Canucks Talk here on Sportsnet 650.